First, I just want to say this. Don't worry about paying any money for these. If you want one of these, take that. And listen, guys, this has been such an easy witnessing tool for so many people. I will be shocked if not everybody in this room doesn't know one person that could use some encouragement about the faith journey. So feel free to take anything you want there out of there. Where are my four leadership people? Do I have anybody in here right now, or did they all skedaddle on me out? I got to tell, dinner was unscriptural. Where are you guys? Get in here. Seriously, because think about it. Jesus taught, and then he fed them. They just fed you all that food, and now I have to teach. You okay? I mean, let's think about that, right? Am I like a man of the word right there? Okay, because I don't know how. Here's the promise I'm going to make. All I had was a baked potato and little vegetables, and I'm kind of sleepy. I promise not to fall asleep up here if you guys promise not to fall asleep. Amen? Can we do that? Okay. I know none of you are this. I'm probably the only guy here who watched World Cup soccer. Jonathan, you just missed my hard line on Fort. I said dinner was totally unscriptural. Jesus always taught before he fed. Okay, so we got to talk about that, because after that meal, and I get it now, why? I'm probably the only soccer guy. Did anybody watch a second of World Cup soccer? Okay, we got a few of you. Okay, and what I loved, if I missed it during the day, I could put the highlight on, right? And I mean, then you saw like 2 minutes and 21 seconds of the most incredible athleticism. And just to give soccer a little bump right now, NFL football players are kind of falling in love with soccer just because of the athletic, you know, stuff that is going on there. But I want to talk seriously about heavenly highlights. You know, you have to remember, guys, we're just a little blimp creation in the measurement of something that always was and always will be, right? Now, I want you to think about some heavenly highlights. Like, if you were back before all this started, and you were back in the heavens, and you were one of those angels, I mean, like, what would you like to see as like, wow, that was a heavenly highlight? Well, we all know, I mean, could you imagine how awesome it was when God said, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to speak the world into existence. Seriously, think. And he said, in the beginning, I'm going to create the world. He spoke it. I'm just trying to put you in a framework of mind that when I started doing this, like, wow, can you imagine? I mean, this God is a big God. And there's been a lot of highlights. I could ask you, I was going to do that, but we're on a little bit of a time thing tonight, so I'm just going to keep going. But when we look from the beginning, and we know this highlight at the end, right? The coming of Christ, correct? Yeah, we're just like, that's it. We're just like, where's the east from here? I think I'm going to go this way. You know, we just want to see that sky just split. So I'm going to skip that one. But could you imagine the somberness and the sadness in heaven when this event took place? The stillness and the quietness in this room, does it hit you? But there was hope. Because one man, just had a heart, right? But there's some really cool ones, and I could have picked a lot of cool ones out. I mean, there's some incredible professions of faith. One of my favorite, and I always told the boys this, I said, good thing I was a little zealous back in the day. Wait, let me reverse that. One of the cool things, I said, boys, if I would have known I was going to have three boys, you want to know what your names would have been? And you know what? They believe me. But I mean, what a scene, right? Dude, really? All you can do is kill me? Really? You think I'm bowing down over that? All you can do is throw me in that big fiery furnace? Really, you don't know my God like I know my God. I mean, these are incredible. And of course, and I have to plead, because this one, the highlights couldn't stand it any longer. The angel said, God, we can't wait. We can't sit up here and watch this. We got to be part of the chorus, right? I mean, those shepherds, that angelic host coming out and just praising God. I mean, this is real stuff. This is stuff that happened. And you know where I'm going next, because I can't even fathom. Can you imagine the angels hovering around God when this event took place? He's a jealous God. He's got every emotion you got. Don't think he walked away from this like, hey, no problem, I got this. Man, he felt that pain. But I'm going to talk about a highlight and only raise your hand. I want you to think of other highlights I might show. I'm going to pick a highlight up that I don't think one person in this room would put up there, and I think it's maybe the greatest highlight. I'm going to be that bold. These are all unbelievable. I mean, how do you get greater than that? I'm going to put a highlight up here. I'm going to preface it with this. I shared this with you earlier, and this is powerful stuff. I have posters of this. I had poster of this in my school office, so everybody walked in and said, boom, there it is, promised land, baby. But you want to know something? I'm going to tell you this right now. You can't do any of that. Because as hard as you try in your strength, guess what? You're going to fail, right? But here's a highlight I want to talk to you about. I want to talk to you about the birth of the church. I want to talk to you about Acts chapter 2. I want to talk to you about Acts 1 when Jesus said, but you will receive what? Power. You're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Obviously, they had no clue. Now, this next thing is a little abstract. I was going to bring it in, but it was just too big to carry. Josh, my pastor Josh, preached on Acts chapter 2 probably in the middle of June. And as he preached, and being a hyperactive guy and distracted, he did one of those things where he had an artist paint while he preached. I didn't hear a word he said. Okay. But I watched the painting. And I was in awe. There's the Spirit of God hovering over disciples. And the Spirit is descending upon mankind. Guys, this is beyond everything. This is a Jesus-empowered humanity. Think about this heavenly highlight. Think about the angels standing back in heaven and say, oh my gosh, we did win. The same Spirit that just raised Christ from the dead now dwells in them. Everything of the prophets came true. In the last days, God says, I will what? I'm going to dab a little bit on my brother here once in a while? No way. I will pour. I will pour out my Spirit on a couple guys at Fort Wilderness that are leading this place? No, on my brother right here who I just met in the parking. I'm going to pour it on all people. And they're going to prophesy. And young men will see visions. And old men will dream dreams. And then he says this. Oh, gosh, I love this. And you will be my... Oh, that, and you will be my witness. And I love this. Telling people about who? About our doctrines, about this, about me. You want to share? Tell your Jesus encounter. So when I got, I was a baby, remember, 2 years, I didn't go to church. I didn't know what church was. I was just reading my Bible. I'm like, I'm falling in love with Jesus. I'm sharing this with some people in a car riding to school every day, and this guy's kind of just jabbing me. You know, I didn't know how to defend anything except I'm just telling him my story. Finally, I said, okay, Tom, here's the only thing I can tell you. Yeah, I can't answer any of your questions, but I can tell you this. How come every day the first thought I have in the morning when I get up is I want to learn more about Jesus? And for the first 21 years of my life, I never had one Jesus thought. I guess I'm born again, okay? And I will do this. I'm going to tell everywhere, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me, about Jesus, in Jerusalem, in McNaughton, in Rhinelander, in Oneida County, in Wisconsin, in the USA, and their further parts of the earth. Wow. He is pouring his Spirit into your heart, into your soul, into your mind, into your strength for one purpose. Make it real simple, guys. Tell them about me. Do you remember when the woman, the Samaritan, said, I went to town. Hey, I just told everybody and they all came out. You got to meet this guy. He told me everything about my life. But in fact, it is best for you. This is the power of this. Look how Jesus phrases his crucifixion and his everything about it. Hey, it's best for you. I got to go away for a while. Okay? I got to go away. When I had my spinal fusion in 96 at L2, L3, L4, S, you know, the whole thing, and titanium rods and that whole thing, listen, I was telling people this was a painful thing that I'm going to have to go. He said, it's best for you that I go away. I got to go away for a while. Because if I don't, and I don't know how it all works, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, he won't come. But if I do go away, I will send him to you. It was the whole purpose of it all. Somehow some deal was made, some cosmic deal. Fine, crucify him. But guess what? I'm going to win. I'm going to pour my spirit on 160 guys at Fort Wilderness September 8th, 9th, and 10th, or whatever weekend we are, 2018. I'm going to keep pouring my spirit. I love this. When the Spirit of Truth comes, he will, three things he's going to do. First, he will guide your life. Correct? Amen if God guides your life. Raise, put your hands up. Amen. Amen. He guides me. Okay? He leads me in pathways of what? Righteousness. He's guiding my life. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to do what? Help you. Okay? I need help every day. Seriously, I need help getting out of bed some days. I need help every day, everything I do. And this is what I love the most. Up to my last breath, he will be with me forever. There's the advocate, right there. He's going to guide every one of you in truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life. Right? He's the truth. He's going to guide us in all the Jesus knowledge we need. That is the truth. His life is the truth. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing. This scripture always like, whew. And they will do even greater things than I do because what? I'm going to the Father. By going to the Father, what does that mean? I can pour my spirit out on you. Yeah, you're going to do greater things. I don't know how many millions Billy Graham spoke to, but it was tens and tens and tens and tens of millions. Okay? Jesus stayed in a little area of 30 miles by 30 miles or whatever it was. You will do greater things. Now, this is a real important part of the talk tonight, this next slide. Spirit-filled. By little acronym for you is L-U-I, living under the influence. Not D-U-I, don't get that confused, okay? L-U-I, living under the influence. Am I living under the influence of the Holy Spirit? I want to make this really clear. This is a prophetic command. You didn't know this either when you signed up. This is not an option here. We are to be what? Spirit-filled. What does it tell us in Thessalonians? Quench not the Spirit. Will, thank you for being obedient to the Spirit of God during worship. Did you sense that last song when we started lifting up just the name of Jesus? Seriously, didn't you? Like, wow. Let's lift up the name of Jesus. I kind of wish we were still singing that right now. There is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus who walk what? Not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, filled with the Spirit of God. Because if you're not, then God is saddened. We need to be spirit-filled. For to be carnally minded is death, to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now I'm going to put some power to this scripture right here. Remember I told you that night we had 1,000 people filed in, and Pam was sitting there doing her thing. I said this 1,000 times. They said, Len, I don't know how you do it. And I said, I'm going to tell you this real simple. And I used exact scripture. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. If I think about this in my humanity, it'll kill me. But when I walk into the spirit realm, I have the total peace of God that passes all understanding. Why could I have that peace? Because Jesus died and he said, guess what? That means I can pour my spirit into Len and Pam Larson. And I'm just going to pour it. Satan wants to destroy faith, but I'm going to pour it, and I'm going to pour it, and they're going to see a living God. They're going to see a living God. Because when I pulled in that parking lot, I told you earlier, I said, not by might, not by power, but by your what? By your spirit. I beseech God. God, we need your spirit tonight. And God came through and anointed that night. And people walked out of there just like, wow, he's alive. This is really important. You guys know John, the Revelator. He's like the last disciple alive. He's sitting on the island of Patmos. He doesn't know if anything is going on anymore. As far as he knows, the whole movement is dead. But look what he says. I was what? I was in the Spirit. He was still practicing Sabbath. It was the Lord's Day. John didn't care that everybody else was dead. John didn't care that he didn't know what was going on with the Christ movement. He was just in the Spirit, even though life was very, very hard. Guys, when your life gets very, very hard, it's not a cop-out that I can't be Spirit-filled and I still can't work in the Spirit. John was in the Spirit. Now, look how God blessed us through that. Because of John's faithfulness, day after day and year after year, we get the book of Revelation. God said, I'm going to show you some things, Spirit-filled man. You see, failure is not an option here. And I've used this over and over. Those who say they live in God, the Holy Spirit should live as Jesus did. So let's ask ourselves, how did Jesus live? Let's just get this one right out here. Let's make it clear and let's make it concise. Okay? First thing. He lived the image of perfect God love. Perfect God love. The Word became flesh, made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of what? Grace and truth. He lived in the image of perfect love, perfect mercy, perfect grace. And God says, I am pouring my spirit so you can live like my Son lived. He lived sacrificially. He lived sacrificially. For God so loved the world, he what? He gave. So we need to live this perfect life of love. We need to live a life of sacrificial love. Okay? Where, you know, when you live sacrificial love, it hurts. He lived transforming. That's what he did. That's what Jesus did. He transformed lives. Zacchaeus, come out of the tree. I'm coming to your house today. Okay? Boom. Woman, pour, you know, anointing his feet with oil. Wipe. He just transformed lives everywhere. If you continue in my word, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And he lived totally non-condemning. And I'm going to touch a little bit more on that picture. I've gone through all the Gospels, and I've looked at everybody. Man, the guy liked to eat dinner, okay? He liked to hang out at the tables. And, you know, probably because he was a bit homeless, so that probably factored in a little bit. But he did like that. And when you look at who he brought to his table and the tables he ended up. So when we look at that scripture, those who believe in God should live as Christ Jesus. As Christ Jesus did, there it was. It was a life of perfect love. It was a life sacrificially. It was a life that transformed, impacted other lives. Okay, so now we got a test for this. Okay. Now, I was trying to figure, how do we do this test? I'm not going to give you a piece of paper. I'm not going to do that. You could use your fingers. I'm going to put mine behind my back so nobody can see. So I'm going to think 1 to 5. So living under the Holy Spirit, the test. Well, there's only one test I know, and that's the fruit of the Spirit. How's your fruit? Seriously, I ask that question to myself a lot. How's my fruit? Len, 1 to 5, 5 being like, wow, 1 being like, ugh. How's your love fruit today? How'd you do with that one? How are you with love, the love of Christ? I'm going to talk about joy. How about joy? How joyful are you? How about peace? And you can't judge people who know you and see you. And shameful on this testimony, because this story is 30 years old, maybe even longer. I got stopped by our school psychologist back in the mid-80s, and he said, I just got to ask you something. You're driving me nuts. I said, what, Keith? What's wrong? You're so joyful, I can't stand it. I'm tired of seeing you. He was a classic. I mean, he was just classic psychologist guy. He had that little pipe going all the time. And just like, why are you so joyful? I can tell you it's Jesus. You know. I mean, I should have that testimony all the time, right? Amen? But I'm going to talk about that in a little bit. Peace. How are you good on patience, guys? I should ask your wives that one, right? Or your co-workers. This is a serious test because the fruit of the Spirit, the test of your walking under the influence, memorize these things and let them go through your mind. It'll change your day. It'll change your day. Kindness. Goodness. Faithfulness. Gentleness. Self-control. I'm just going to take just 30 seconds to talk about joy. And I thought, where does joy come from? Here's where joy comes from. Can you imagine living every day of your life filled with love and peace? Let it sink in. Patience, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Would you not be the most joyful person walking around? Seriously? Amen? Really? I had a great discussion with a great brother in the Lord, a strong leader. And he said, you know, I don't have much joy in my life. And I get it. Life can wear us out. Okay, it can drag us down. But man, start living a life filled with love and peace and patience and gentleness and kindness and self-control. What a wonderful way of living. A life overflowing with spiritual fruit towards all of mankind that our Christ loved and died for. Not what we say. And I hear this so often. How do I explain the gospel? Well, you probably shouldn't have to. They should come up to you and ask you, wow, what's going on in your life? Why are you like this? Okay? Like Keith did to me back 30-some years ago. They should be attracted. I heard a great sermon that moths are attracted to the light. Okay? And you know that if you got the thing on the outside of your house at night and you make a mistake with the door. They should be attracted to us. Guys, I love, and I pray this scripture a lot. Because I love it too much. Isaiah chapter 60. Jesus walks into the temple. This is how he showed everybody he was the Son of God. He picked it up and he read it. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord. Is that same Spirit in you? Amen? Amen. It is. So when you see that, that means that Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me. It is on me. You want to have a joyful, life-filled life? Look at what we can do with that anointing. Because what has the Lord done to every single one of us in this room? He's anointed us. He has literally anointed us. So we can do what? To proclaim good news, that glorious gospel to the poor. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. This next week, you're pulling something out of here. I'm a school teacher, so I got to give assignments, right? I'm retired, but I'm not retired yet. So here's your assignment. One of these things you're gonna help a brokenhearted person. Somebody captive to maybe a drug addiction or whatever. You're gonna nestle up to them and just kind of work through with them. Proclaim freedom for the captives, release from darkness the prisoners, to bestow on them, I love this, a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord. His calling, our calling, it's right there. It's clear. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me. So how do we do it? We've heard this scripture before because Rick Goff used it all the way through his presentation. I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Christ lives in me. The life I now live in this body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So you live crucified. Crucify that old flesh. When that old flesh wants to rise up, I got a little of that Sicilian blood that gets a little too hot sometimes. I got to crucify it. I got to put it down. My wife will say, Len, just settle it down a little bit. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in the view of God's mercy, offer your body a living sacrifice. Holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. And this is the part I love. Be transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. My simple goal this week was, in preparation, was renewing my mind and help you renew your... And this is daily, right? I mean, don't you kind of wish after that steak dinner you didn't have to eat for 3 days? Seriously? I wish it would work better like that. But it doesn't. You'll be in that chow line for breakfast, just putting it on your plates like crazy. Okay? That's the same thing spiritually, guys. We got to keep chowing spiritually just like crazy. We got to keep going at it. And though I speak, it's all about love, guys. Though I speak with the tongues and men of angels and have not love, I'm a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Though I have a gift of prophecy, wisdom, knowledge, I have such faith I can take this mountain and throw it into the sea. Without love, I'm nothing. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and give my body to be burned. And the King James uses the word charity, which is love in action. Without it, nothing. Because love suffereth what? Long. It's kind. It envies not. It's not puffed up. It doesn't behave unseemly. It seeketh not its own. It's not easily provoked. It thinketh no evil. It rejoices not in iniquity. It rejoices in truth. It bears all things. It believes all things. It hopes all things. It endures all things. Guess what? Love never fails. I've done a lot of great work with young people. I'm going to share a really cool story tomorrow about some of my work with natives. And I'm going to tell you this right now. Love never fails. It never fails. I got 42 years of experience. I'm not going to teach on these. I'm just going to put them up. I'll even leave it up later if you want to screenshot this. Okay? Living, how do you do this? You know, these are some things that I look at my life. Okay? Through His Word, through my personal journey of holiness and obedience to Him, prayerful meditation, joyful thanksgiving, and through a life of unconditional love. So I finish with this. How's your fruit? Let a man examine himself. You got that withered bunch of grapes living in fear and unbelief and doubt? Or are people going like, whoa, where did you get those in the grocery store? I didn't see them that big. Those are some wonderful looking grapes. Where'd you get that? It's a beautiful existence to allow the Spirit of God just to fill us. Let's just close our hearts. I'm going to close kind of just in a quiet prayer. Jesus, you said, I must go so the advocate, the comforter can come. You died because you knew you could release the power of the triune God, the Spirit of God, onto all of us. I can't imagine how it breaks your heart to see us living a life that is not Spirit-filled, filled with Spirit fruit. I pray for these men that their lives are filled with love and joy and peace, long-suffering, patience, goodness, kindness, self-control, faithfulness. Lord, I pray as they go their ways tonight, they'll meditate, they'll sit around their fires, they'll talk about this, they'll pray for each other, they'll encourage each other, because we can't do this on our own. They'll hold each other accountable. But more importantly, Lord, I pray that they'll get out of the boat and they're going to do the second part. They're going to go into all the world. And they're going to show their families their fruit. They're going to show their neighbors their fruit. They're going to show their communities the fruit of God, their workplace, the fruit of God, their church members. Lord, it's finished. You're not on that cross anymore. It's an empty cross. It is finished. The power is here. Thank you for these men. Thank you for their families. Bless their families. Lord, I can't wait to get here tomorrow morning and just keep working with these guys. I love them, Lord. Thank you for bringing me into this mix, Jesus, in your name. Amen. Amen. Have a good night, guys. See you tomorrow morning.